Everybody, what's up? It's your host, Dangerous ASMR, just doing my regular vocal warm-up exercises like I always do. This is a Dangerous ASMR patented tip, free just for you. And we are back with another Drunken Dangerous. I know. I feel like it's been forever, too. I also missed you. I know that's exactly what you were thinking. I'm psychic. Yes, I got over my colds, and as a result of being sick twice in a row, I got psychic, so that's what I knew. That's the only thing I'm psychic about, though. It's pretty bad. It's a failure. And also, you're psychic because you're thinking, wow, she's incoherent, and you're right, because I'm very high at the moment. I know, I'm a failure to my title, but, I had some very nice THC cookies this evening, and I thought I would share my high self with you as we read through a brand new story that I happened to come across in an article about the worst stories ever written. And this one was recommended, and I'd never heard of it before, but I didn't want to spoil myself. So if it isn't really terrible, my apologies. I did pay my own money for this, which might be a horrible mistake. But either way, this is a self-published masterpiece. So, and I have to say, no hate to this author. I'm sure he did his very best. And we will all have a very good time with... the fruits of his creative labor, you know? Bless him for trying. I'm sure we'll all have a great read, one way or the other. Anyway, without further ado, because I know I've been stretching this out, but, you know, it's filler. I learned it in, like, high school. You got to pad your essays, and I could never unlearn it. It just became how I operated in life. You got work, and you've got sleep. And everything else in between is just like filler, right? Anyway, the title of the book today, which you're not even waiting for it. Well, I don't know why I said this. You just read the title when I posted this, but whatever. Let's pretend you can't read. I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm really sorry that you lost your ability to read due to that terrible accident. You know, in the future, it'll happen by the time I post this. Anyway, I failed already on my way back. You're all welcome. I hope we're all enjoying things, at my expense, at least for the moment. The book we'll be reading today is Moon People, The Age of Aquarius by Dale M. Courtney. And the cover is maybe what looks like a satellite and... kind of looks like a big round ship planet thing. And there's an astronaut there. Little tiny astronaut just floating in space. So that's a thing. So this is what we're reading. It's supposed to be really bad. And let's find out why. So Moon People, The Age of Aquarius. Oh, look, here's it. It has an interesting opening. Moon People, The Age of Aquarius, best sci-fi in 2009. Amazon gave Moon People 5 stars. By the time I bought this, it was down to 3.5. So that's why he has to say 2009. That was quite a while ago. Ah, good times. So it is a work of fiction, etc., etc. Moon People. Oh, there's an introduction. I don't want to hear the introduction. You're going to ruin it. Okay. Chapter 1, or part 1, The Beginning of the End. Chapter 1. This story begins on a beautiful sunny day in Daytona Beach, Florida, with a man by the name of David Bramer. A 45-year-old single man that works at the local high school as a science teacher. He also teaches astronomy in the 12th grade level. Also, in addition to his work as a science teacher, he does astronomy. He has been at the school for about 5 years as this dual teacher. David has become somewhat partial to a young lady by the name of Cheryl Baskell. That sounds too much like what? Cheryl Baskin? Cheryl Baskell. I mean, this was back in the day. How could they have known? It's Cheryl Baskell, a local restaurant owner in Daytona Beach, Florida. you just told us we were in Daytona Beach, man. I mean, I still remember. But I suppose if I had dementia, this would be very helpful. At the moment, Cheryl is preparing her restaurant for another shuttle launch at the Cape. Everyone always gathers at her place because you can see the launch real good there. It is right on the water, and it's real close to the Cape. She always decks the place out right before a launch, too. Like, how, though? Like, how do you deck it out? Now, I know it's not going to be thematic, but I'm picturing tables with, like, little astronauts as centerpieces, right? Like, I know that's not possible, but that'd be kind of amazing. I doubt she does. What would even decking a place out for the launch look like? Like, what kind of parties take place around shuttle launches? Is this a whole thing that I'm not aware of? Like, how classy is it? I have a lot of questions now about shuttle launches that I didn't want to have before this. What the fuck, Cheryl Baskell? Why'd you do that to me? Goddamn, Cheryl. Always doing this shit to me. Oh, God, Carol, Cheryl is fucking awful. All of these people, curse. I'm sorry if that's your name. I'm sure you're lovely. But if you're any of these other ones, awful trash. Clearly, if you're a patron to me, that cancels it out because, you know, supporting me is basically like giving to a church, you know. It's an act of the highest order. Basically, you get one free blessing. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm no priest or anything, but I think that's how it works. Anyway, we all forget about the shuttle shit. No one cares. It's right on the water. It's real close to the Cape, so she has it all decked out. David always goes to Cheryl's place before work every morning for breakfast because it is on his way to his school. He has never missed a shuttle launch at Cheryl's place since he's been at his school. David was not always a teacher. Really? He didn't come out of his mom a teacher? Before he was a teacher, he used to work for the government for UFO research about 5 years ago. You're not sure how many? Maybe approximately. What's with these people writing these stories, and they always say about, or like they don't just tell you. It's, you're the person writing it. You fucking know the answer. He didn't like the job that much because he was always bored. I mean, I think we've all had jobs like that. But as a UFO researcher, you're really bored? Really? It's that boring? Really? As a UFO researcher? I feel like there's a lot more boring jobs out there. Was he used to, like, white water rafting instructor? And he's like, just researching UFOs is boring. He didn't like the job that much because he was always bored, blah, blah, blah. See, I'm already getting bored. I'm repeating myself. He really wanted to teach anyway. When the job at the school came up, he grabbed it. Today is also October 27th in the year 2048. You could have led with that. I mean, I feel like that's more pertinent than like what fucking David eats for breakfast or the shit you were telling us. The next shuttle launch at the Cape is on Halloween. There has been some unusual events the last two shuttle launches, though. They would get right up to the launch sequence and then stop the launch for some kind of weird problem. Now everyone is very suspicious about the next launch on the 31 because of it. Not the 31st, on the 31. because of it being Halloween. They have also been launching 3 shuttles a week. Okay, maybe this just happens in the year 2048, but how many fucking shuttles are we launching that this is such a regular thing? How many shuttles? I mean, is this what happens in the future with Elon Musk? I need to know. There has been some unusual events the last 2 shuttle launches, though. Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I keep losing my place with this boring shit. Okay. Most of the people going back and forth on the shuttles are workers working on the 3 huge mobile base stations orbiting the Earth. What? How quickly do we make these things? 2 of which are just being finished. They have also been trying to get David to join the crew on the USS Lunar Base 1 for about 2 years. Why? Why? Because he's such a great science teacher and astronomy teacher? Mm-hmm. Because he did that UFO work that he hated? I'm so sure. Which is one of the base stations that is almost completed? I don't know. Why do you have a question mark? I think they meant to say the USS Lunar Base 1 is one of the base stations that's almost completed. But instead it goes like this. These are 2 separate sentences. Just so you know my confusion. The first sentence goes like this. They have also been trying to get David to join the crew on the USS Lunar Base 1 for about 2 years, period. Which is one of the base stations that is almost completed? Question mark. I mean, they just said that there was 3 and 2 were almost finished. And which one is almost completed? Like, is it that one? Why are you asking me? I'm just going to assume that one's almost completed. However, he declines gracefully because he's a little scared of the launch process. Plus, he likes the school he's at. Why are you telling me this? Is this you? Is this your... This is your fill-in character. I see. We can see that. Okay. He's like, they were saying, please, please be the captain astronaut of the moon base. You're so cool and fit and all the girls want to fuck you. And he's like, no, I'm too cool to be an astronaut. I would rather be a boring science teacher. No offense to teachers. I'm sure it's great. But come on, astronaut. You're telling me you turn down astronaut being like, nah, I like my school better. Like, come on. You know you won't be an astronaut. Don't lie. It just sounds like something you tell people. Like, oh, they totally wanted me to be an astronaut. But I was like, no, school. And like, I was like, okay, sure, buddy. Like, I gotta say, if they're asking me to be like, on this fucking base of theirs, if I'm going to say no, I still want that letter so I can, like, show people and be like, no, I swear I'm not full of shit. Because otherwise, they're not going to believe you. But, I mean, maybe they would. He's apparently amazing in this universe. Everybody laughs about the way the base stations look. They look like a giant empty toilet paper holder from Earth. Why do they design it like that? With one huge engine on the back of it. From in front of the engine on the inside, the front of the base station on the inside are all docking bays. There's 10 stories from top to bottom, and all 3 base stations are a 16th of a mile in diameter and about an 1/8 of a mile long. Wow, it helps me so much to picture this. They constantly rotate for gravity when they are in operation. The USS Lunar Base 1 and 2 are rotating at this time. And in about 3 months, the Lunar Base 3 will start rotating. The reason why they want David... Oh, they're finally telling us. Thank you. It's his knowledge of the stars. Also because he worked for UFO research. Oh, that totally explains it. They pay the workers a lot of money to work on the base stations. I kind of feel like... You know what this feels like? It feels like a little kid, like, trying to write about a documentary he watched. And you're like, okay, like, that, good job, honey. You're trying. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm reading a story. It feels like somebody's trying to repeat something, like, poorly that they didn't really understand or, like, pay attention to. Oh, God, it's so bad. Okay. They pay the workers a lot of money to work on the base station because it is so dangerous. And he would be an officer if he did decide to join the USS Lunar Base 1. First, it starts on its mission to Mars for 6 months. Then off to the Saturn's moon Titan. The USS Lunar Base 2 will first go to Venus for a year. Then it will head to Pluto and its moons. USS Lunar Base 3 will go first to Jupiter for a year and then go to the outer parts of our solar system and beyond. They are also paying big money to either go to our moon base and our Mars base to work for a 10-year period. Why? Why? What are they doing there? Are you going to tell us in like 2 pages? Now on this day, David is on his way to the restaurant, like always, listening to his radio. His favorite song is playing. What is it? What's his favorite song? I will never know. It's up to your imagination. I like to think it's Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star is playing. She just fucking loved. When there's an interruption in the broadcast, in the emergency broadcast system, they didn't stop it there. This is supposed to be the quote of the station, but there's no quotes at all or any real delineation from what he was just saying in the description, so you really kind of have to infer that this is what they're saying. This is K92 FM. We take you live to NASA with a special report. This is Steve Slater live on Channel 9. Ladies and gentlemen, today NASA Observatory has spotted a huge meteor headed toward Earth at a high rate of speed. Coming very close. However, NASA officials believe that it will not hit Earth. It appears to be the size of a small moon. They are also concerned about it hitting the sun or our moon. They believe if it hits any other planet, we should be all right. But NASA experts need to do some more studies and urge everyone not to panic. They need to? Well, they're not, so apparently. I mean, are they urging them? It says they need to do more studies and urge everyone not to panic. I mean, they're urging them or they need to urge them. I'm just saying, NASA, you need to clear up the way you're stating that. We're not sure about anything yet. Why are you making the fucking statement then? What we do know is it's coming from the direction of the constellation of Scorpio at the tail area. Heading this way. This way? Heading this way. By that, do you mean the planet Earth in the direction of the planet Earth? Or like this way specifically, like where I am? Because that kind of makes a difference. Oh my god, heading this way, going approximately, okay. You know they started this saying, like, we urge everyone not to panic? That is in direct conflict with this statement. It's heading this way, going approximately 60,000 miles an hour, and it is a planet killer. We repeat, please do not panic. Now we resume to your regular programming. Fuck you. Why did you call it a planet killer? And then try to sandwich don't panic in between that. Fuck off with that bullshit sandwich. You can't be like, guys, okay, listen. Maybe sort of there's kind of like this moon-sized thing hurtling toward you, like directly at you, but you'll totally be fine. This planet-killing-sized moon that's heading straight at us will probably be fine, even though we don't know anything at all, which we just said. Don't panic. Okay, enjoy your TV while you can. Like, fuck off, NASA. Is this what we're paying you for your million moon bases for? Earth is going to be destroyed. And you're like, well, technically, everyone at NASA is, like, out in space, so fuck your Earth, I guess. We repeat, please do not panic. Who the fuck said, yeah, let's call it the planet killer? You forgot to remove that part when you're doing the, you know, caring, don't panic stuff. David was thinking to himself, oh my God, this is unbelievable. I can't believe this. I know, David, we know you can't. Neither can I. Could this be the end of us all that everyone predicted literally since the beginning of time? Yes, probably. You're right. They'll all be right at one point in time. It will be the end of the earth. And they will all have been correct that the earth was ending. Just not when they said. There were a lot of religious leaders predicting the end of the world recently, as like every point in time they have been. The topic at the time was very frightening. I wonder if Cheryl heard it on the news at the restaurant. Stop thinking about that bitch. As David pulls into Cheryl's place, also, you guys just need to know Cheryl is getting randomly capitalized and uncapitalized, and it's a little disconcerting. I don't need to tell you every time, but it's just been happening throughout this so far. As David pulls into Cheryl's place, he sees many of the regular locals parked in the parking lot like normal. As he gets out of the car, he also notices everyone inside looks normal. Wow. As he comes through the door, Cheryl comes over with a big smile on her face. Hi, stranger. I don't know why he decided not to use quotation marks, but fuck him for that. Apparently, punctuation is too much. There's literally no punctuation for any of this. It's insane. None of you were here to see it, and apparently you can't read, so it wouldn't have helped anyway. But trust me, it's trash. Trash I paid $10 for. So who's the real idiot here? It's me. And you, because you're listening to this. Oh, God. Anyway, so I'm all guessing when people are talking. Here we go. Ah, Cheryl comes over with a big smile on her face. Hi, stranger. As she looks at David's face, she realizes something is wrong. Then Cheryl says, you look like you've seen a ghost. What's wrong? David took the worried look off of his face and answered, nothing really. Have you heard the news of the day yet?
No, Cheryl replied. I just got done in the kitchen and came out and seen you. Why, what's wrong?
Then David said, it's really nothing to panic about. Well, I just heard something on the radio just minutes ago. They said that there was a big meteor coming right at us from the constellation of Scorpio. Yeah, sure, that's real. Oh, yeah. I didn't know it was her. How can we? It's all a run-on sentence.
Yeah, sure, that's real funny. Ha ha.
Then David said, no, really, Cheryl, I'm not kidding. Turn on your TV. There should be something on there now. I bet it's on every station. Who the fuck gets television anymore, David, is what I would say. What do you mean turn on my TV? I have a smart TV. It's going to take me to the home, which none of it is, like, regular television. Maybe if I was staying at a hotel, but what the fuck? No one has cable. Get out of here, David.
Cheryl looks over at David kind of funny and looks over at one of her regulars sitting by the TV and said, Bill, can you turn on the TV that's behind you for me?
Why would you say for me? It's obviously for you. Who else would it be for?
Behind you for me. Okay.
Bill answered, sure, for you anything.
Then Cheryl said, could you put it on channel 9, please?
Sure, Bill answered.
Then on came the TV. The reporter, Steve Slater, was talking about the meteor. NASA reports were saying the meteor is increasing in speed.
It appears the meteor is going 69,000 miles an hour. Nice. And is climbing in speed at the rate of 1,000 miles an hour every 6 hours.
This is Steve Slater. Oh, shit. I didn't know it was him talking. There's no quotes. God damn it.
This is Steve Slater. I take you live to NASA Observatory to talk to Herbert Larson, head astronomer.
Herbert Larson. It's in like little quotes. So I'm guessing like this is now Herbert Larson who's talking. At approximately 3:55 a.m. this morning, we spotted a giant meteor in the constellation. Really? You're going to fucking tell us this shit again? Okay. In the constellation of Scorpio coming in our direction. At the current rate of speed, it should be here in about 178 days. Now we believe it's going to miss us by about 25,000 miles. It's going to be real close. We will be following it very closely. We have experts on this all over the world. Everyone right now is busy trying to calculate where the meteor is going and if it is going to hit us when it arrives in about 178 days. Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully with God's help, nothing will go wrong and we will see the most spectacular event the world has ever seen since the beginning of time. Really, you're kind of hyping that up a lot, pal. I mean, the planet killer, I don't know, the most spectacular event the world has ever seen since the beginning of time. You weren't there. You don't know it was around. We will be giving you more information as soon as we know more. Please, it's very important not to panic. It won't help at all. It will only make things worse. Now we take you back to your regular programming. The news reporters seem to always make things a little more scarier than they need to be for effect. Now when David came in before everyone knew, it sounded like a regular restaurant with regular restaurant noises. As the reporters started telling everyone what was going on, you could hear a mouse burp. Why? Then at the end of the report, you heard everyone say the same three words. Oh my God, apparently all at once. It must be. They were only allowed to say those three words. About half the people immediately got up with a terrified look on their face and said, "We have to go." And they paid their tab and left. All of them like robots in sync? That's horrifying. Then one of Cheryl's regular customers in the other half of the restaurant said, "I'm not going to panic. Hell, it might not even come close to us." Then David said, "It would probably collide with something way before it comes near us. I'm going to go ahead and eat. I'm not going to panic either." Then everyone realized who David was and what he did for a living. How did they? How? How'd they all suddenly realize? Was he sending his psychic thoughts to them too? Then everyone started to calm down and listen to what he was saying. Suddenly, everybody went ahead and ate their breakfast because they're all lemming robots suddenly and we need to be terrified because apparently this is also happening. They're pod people. Sorry, I can't with these pod people. They're everywhere. That thing squeaked. It's too late. I still sucked on you. Okay. I can do this. All right. All the robots did lockstep and returned to eat their breakfast. David turned to Cheryl with a smile, and Cheryl said, 222? David said, "You know me. Yes, ma'am." "Coming right up," Cheryl replied. She had a sexy smile on her face and then went to the kitchen. David grabbed the newspaper and sat down at his usual booth and started reading the paper. In no time, one of Cheryl's waitresses came out with his breakfast. David ate pretty quickly. He put $5 on the table and went over to the door of Cheryl's kitchen and smiled. He looked at Cheryl and said, "That was one good breakfast." "That was sure quick," Cheryl replied. Then David said, "Yeah, I know. I have an eating disorder." No, he didn't say that. "You know what? I've been coming here for a long time, and you know we never really got to know each other after all that, well. Do you think maybe that?" David seemed to be a little nervous, I don't know. Was he? I assume. Why do you keep asking me his feelings? "Well, I was wondering if you would like to go out with me sometime." Cheryl put a sexy smile on her face. Would it ever leave? I thought it was already there. And said, you know, I would really like that a lot. David put a big smile on his face, for he was incapable of a sexy smile. I mean, apparently. That's great. How about Friday night? Cheryl said. Okay, that sounds good to me. Super, David answered, because he was your dad. And was very happy because Cheryl said yes. Well, no shit. That's a date then. I'll see you on Friday.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow morning for breakfast, too.
Then he said bye and went on to school. As he was driving to work, he noticed everyone seemed to be driving a little crazy and yelling at each other. Well, no shit. People think the world is ending. They called it a planet killer. I mean, NASA. You had one job, to not scare people. And I don't know how many don't panics you throw in there. When you say planet killer, you lose the high ground. You can't. No one's believing you anymore. We all heard the planet killer part. Anyway, so everybody's just gotten shitty. I mean, honestly, if I've... Have you ever been to the city? Everyone is driving a little crazy and yelling at each other. Like, that's been my experience every time I've gone to a big city and, like, tried to drive or seen other people driving. It's insane, and it makes me scared because everybody seems like they're about to murder each other. Like, everyone's in the biggest rush in the entire fucking world. Like, they're about to shit their pants in a rush, and they would rather honestly run over pedestrians than wait an extra 5 seconds. And I guess when it's the end of the world, it'll be like that everywhere. So that's something to look forward to, apparently in 2048 or whenever this is. When he got to the school, he noticed everyone was running around panicking. Everybody was telling everyone to calm down. Everybody was telling everyone at the same time. Robot people. When he got to his room and got settled in, a couple of his best students, Billy Berenson, Billy, did you really name your kid Billy? Billy Berenson, like the Berenstain Bears. Billy Berenson and Kathy Rigby arrived. They were a little panicked. Of course, everyone's panicking. And asked, David, Mr. Bramer, did you hear the news? Sure, David replied. I'm going to hook up my new telescope and we will all watch it as it gets close to Earth. This is a special telescope that can see during the day. It is one of the latest telescopes out. They're expensive, but they work well. You can hook it up to your computer and watch it on your monitor. With our new chalkboard-sized class computer monitor. Wow, that's impressive. A chalkboard-sized class computer monitor. Holy shit. We can watch it real good in the classroom. I guess it's a goodies on English teacher. And it's high definition, too. My God. All you need is the correct coordinates laid in. Then Billy said,
that's pretty cool, Professor.
Yeah, that's cool, Kathy replied. David spoke up and said, I've got to go to the office to get some forms. I'll be right back, so be good. He works in a fucking high school, right, with seniors? So be good? That's kind of incredibly, like, okay. So be good, 17-year-olds. Don't poop your pants or anything, or you'll have to call your mommy. Billy and Kathy both said, okay, Mr. Bramer. As David arrived at the office, everyone was very busy and a little panicky. You don't have to fucking tell me anymore. I'll assume everyone is, except David, for he is God. It was close to chaos. He went over to the principal's office and walked in. The principal, Mike Lever, My clever is really what you just call it. My clever looked at David and said, I'm glad you're here. I just received a phone call this morning from NASA asking about you and wanting to talk to you. They said it was pretty important. They gave me a number for you to call.
I tried to find out what it was about, but he wouldn't tell me. I'll bet it has something to do with the meteor, doesn't it?
I don't know, David answered. I'll call and find out and let you know, Mike.
David went ahead and got his forms and went back to class. When he got back, most of his students were starting to arrive. Everyone was kind of loud, so he told everyone to calm down and please sit down. I thought everybody already told everyone to calm down. Do they really need to hear it again? Everyone could start studying his or her books for Friday's test. I have to make a phone call and I'll be right back. David went to the teacher's break room and snorted some coke. He didn't, but... and called the number.
Hello? This NASA operations. Bud Walker speaking.
No, it's clearly one of those Indian, like, people saying they're the IRS. Hello, this NASA operations? Not this is. Hello, this NASA operations. They're not NASA. Bud Walker speaking.
Yes, how are you doing? My name is David Bramer. I am a 12th grade teacher at New Smyrna Beach High School. I was told someone was wanting to talk to me about something and that it was important. That is the end of chapter one. Oh boy.
I think we have time for one more chapter. I gotta tell you, this is infuriating to read because there are no indications of dialogue and no breaks. There's no breaks in any sentence. It's all just one giant run-on long sentences jammed together without different paragraphs or correct punctuation. I'm left to guess who's speaking when and what blinds belong to who. So forgive me if I fuck this shit up. I care more than the author did. All right. You know what? I think I need one more hit. This is truly just as bad as I thought. And if we all agree at the end, there are two more sequels. This is a trilogy. I wonder if David and Cheryl ever get to live on the moon base. And if that moon, the planet killer, hits Earth. And if the, like, by book three, if they'll ever decide to do proper punctuation. Oh, God, the world will never know. And also, it's not just Cheryl's name that constantly changes capitalization. It's everything throughout the book. I'm going to, you know, by the end of this book, and if you guys want, actually, let me know in the comments below if you want. And I will add on some pictures of just, like, the text of this, so you can kind of see what I mean when I'm talking about how this is actually written and what I'm seeing, so you can really enjoy the struggle that that I'm going through for all of you. I suffer. And so do we all, because you're listening to this, too. All right. This is going to be amazing. I hope I can do this. Chapter 2, The New Job. I guess he changed his mind.
Yes, Mr. Bramer, I'm head of operations out here at NASA. I was wondering if you were still active in the field of astronomy.
Yes, I am, David answered. This is about the meteor, isn't it?
Yes, Bud replied. I hear you're the best at what you do.
David smiled and said, well, I don't know about being the best, but I do teach astronomy in high school. Like, that's a fucking thing, really. And I have been into astrology for about 20 years.
Wow,
no one's impressed.
Then Bud said, yes, I know, Mr. Bramer. Well, I'm just going to come right out with it. Our head astronomer, Herbert Lawson, and his assistant were in an automobile accident yesterday.
You know that David totally set that up.
They're both in pretty bad shape. They will be all right, but that gave us some empty positions we'll need to fill immediately. Because of our meteor that's coming right at us,
why do you keep saying that?
That's coming right at us. The last calculation shows
And there's something else. Then David said, wait, I have a job. Yes, I know, Bud replied. We are willing to go the extra mile here. We will pay top dollar on this one, and we have a substitute to take your place at school. All this is coming straight from the top. Mr. Bramer, we need you real bad. Really? Him? I mean, I know he does teach it in high school. That's a pretty high mark. We will also help you out with any other problems you might have. Erectile dysfunction. David answered, well, I don't know. I guess it all depends on one thing. Then Bun's... Bud, I can talk. Then Bud said, what's that? What was that something else you were talking about a minute ago when you were talking about the meteor? You said there was something else. I can't tell you until you take the job, Bud replied. He's going to be like, suck my dick. Then David said, can I have a little time to think about it first? Bud answered, yes, you have until 5 o'clock today. David said, wow, that's not much time. Yes, I know, Bud said. We can't help it. The meteor isn't giving us much choice. Please, all I ask is for you to think about it and give me a call later today. Okay, sir, I'll do that, David answered. I'll give you a call either way, Mr. Walker. And then David said, have a good day, sir. Then David hung up and went back to class. When he arrived back at class, he noticed, apparently this guy never said notice, duh, every single time it's notice, without a D, every fucking time, it's starting to piss me off. Did nobody tell him? He noticed that half of his class was absent and the other half was playing around. Does this person know what high school seniors are like? Because I feel like he writes them at like 8-year-old level. It's weird. All right, everyone, let's sit down, David said. Let's get this class going. Billy spoke up and said, does this mean we don't have to come to school because the meteor? No, you should come to class unless someone says not to. Then Kathy said, no one else is. I know, but we should still come unless they say otherwise, David replied. Now everyone open their astronomy books to page 286 to the constellation of Scorpio. This is what we are going to study for a couple of days. We will have a test on this Friday. I will also hook this telescope up to our new 80-inch chalkboard computer monitor. This ought to be pretty cool once we set it up. Then everyone started studying, and David started putting the computer telescope all together. After about 30 minutes, he had it all hooked up and was starting to turn everything on. Suddenly, the monitor came on. David started adjusting the telescope to the constellation of Scorpio, and finally it came in so good it seemed like it was night. The whole class, it's whole with an no W, the whole class, there's a whole class, they're learning about holes. Yes, the ones you're thinking of, you pervert, made a wow sound. Really? A wow sound? Not they said wow, they made a wow sound. The whole class made a wow sound, and then they all said about the same time, cool. No, they did not. They most certainly did not all say at the same time, cool. They're robots confirmed. Oh my God. At that point, David knew he had a hit. Then he told Billy to turn out the classroom lights. They could see the meteor very clear, as if it were nighttime. Also, everyone shouted out, there it is, wow, look at that picture. David said, that's pretty good definition, it's so clear. The whole class at the same time said, yeah. This is a pretty hard suspension of disbelief, but I'm starting to think he's hypnotized his class and they're all just like slaves repeating themselves on loop because this is creepy. They're all linked somehow. It's not healthy, and I don't like it. and they're also really mentally behind where they should be. I'm just very concerned. The whole class apparently continues to say things at the same time, all the same thing. Because no one is unique. We're all the same except for David. The meteor was coming from the end of the tail section, where the stinger is in the constellation of Scorpio. Then Kathy said,
Mr. Bramer, how's the high definition come in so good? It's broad daylight.
This is one of the latest telescopes out, David said. When you use it in the daytime, it mixes with our Hubble 7 satellite telescope in space. That's how it zooms in so close and so clear. That is a good picture, and it looks so close. This is better than I thought. Wait a minute. That's not coming from Lambda Scorpio off the stinger. That's coming from Antares region. But that's over 135 million light years away. There's no way that could get here in 178 days. I wonder who did the calculations on that. Boy, they do need help. Wait a minute. I should be able to calculate the speed thanks to my new telescope called Zeus. I mean, this is going pretty fast. We're just assuming David's correct. Then David said, oh, apparently Zeus listens to him. Zeus, can you locate and lock in on the meteor that is moving, told us, at a high rate of speed in the constellation of Scorpio? Oh my God, this is Zeus. So he's going to sound like, I'm going to make him sound like a robot. Are you ready?
Affirmative. Located.
Cool. The whole class said out loud again. You could see Zeus zoom in on the meteor. Then David said, Zeus, can you calculate the speed and size of the meteor coming from the Antares star system, coming to our solar system?
Affirmative. One moment, please. Meteor is coming approximately 182 kilometers an hour and increasing speed 5,005 kilometers every 24 hours. Meteor is 10 kilometers in diameter.
Wow, the class sounded out. What? This class is something. David asked, Zeus, how long before the meteor enters our solar system?
Meteor will be entering into your solar system in approximately 204 days, 6 hours, 22 minutes, and 44 seconds.
Wow, the class sounded out again. Billy looked at David and yelled out,
Ask Zeus if the meteor's gonna hit Earth.
David thought about it for a moment and said, Maybe I shouldn't. The whole class yells out,
Why not?
Billy tells David,
Hey, Professor, we're all in this together.
It's not that simple, Billy. But Billy was simple. Unlike this problem. And this book, which I am enjoying very much for the trash that it is, and I hope that you're enjoying it too. And I've had a good time in this Drunk and Dangerous. I hope you enjoyed it too with my return back from the dead. Hopefully I don't get sick again, knock on wood. My cat is outside the closet trying to get in, so this is especially a good time to end this. Thank you guys so much for listening. Join me back here again next week for another Drunk and Dangerous. I love you guys, and I will see you then. Mwah! Bye.